Hi, this is the Pacifica National Board National Finance Committee meeting for Tuesday, September 21st. Convening at, I'm not exactly sure the time now, but it's probably close to 6 o'clock Pacific and 9 o'clock Eastern. R. Paul Martin, Secretary, Summer Reese, Chair. R. Paul, could you please take the roll?
Okay. Thank Alonzo you. Brown.
Here.
Mike here. Jones?
Here.
Is Mike Jones here? I'm not sure if Mike Jones
I thought he was here.
I saw a message from him earlier that he had to be late.
Okay, so he's not here. Alberto Luera? R. Paul Martin is here. Simon Pius?
Present.
Summer Reese?
Present.
Tracy Rosenberg? John, Alex Steinberg?
Here.
John Wenger?
Here.
LaVarne Williams? Here a minute ago.
So was Tracy. They were both here. They'll probably rejoin us.
Bruce Wolf?
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum.
Thank you so much. All right, we need to, let's do our normal thing. Let's get through. Do you have any minutes prepared, R. Paul, that we should dispense
with? Yeah, I just barely have them prepared. you want to
read us a raw pair of minutes?
Should we do an agenda, or?
Yeah, okay. Well, so the agenda for this evening, I'd like to go ahead and get the minutes out of the way. Is it one set of minutes or two?
One from the last time, and I think we have some others in the past, but I'd have to look those up.
Yeah, let's just do the one from the last time so we don't lose ground,
okay.
At least. And I would propose the agenda be the approval of the agenda, approval of the minutes, and that the agenda should be a review of the remaining budgets needing that are still being worked on and need approval, which would be KPFA, KPFK, WPFW, and WBAI. That we go ahead and review where the process is at on those four budgets and get an update from the treasurers of those stations. And then after that, we'll go ahead and adjourn to executive session to discuss current financial issues. Is there any objection to that proposed agenda? Okay, and hearing none, our poll can you mark it as approved? And if you would, go ahead and read us the minutes, and we'll see if we can get those approved. Thank you.
Okay. Let me do that one second. All right. Public session. Okay. We did things backwards last time, so.
LaVarne just walked in, and she's grabbing her computer.
Thank
oh,
you.
My. Doesn't sound quite right, but all right. Draft minutes for the regular National Finance Committee meeting in public session, September 7, 2010. Meeting convened at 10:41 p.m. Eastern Time, a quorum being present, the chair and secretary being present.
Thank you.
Attending, Lonzo Brown, Alberto Luera, R. Paul Martin, Simon Pius, Summer Reese, Alex Steinberg, John Wenger, LaVarne Williams, Bruce Wolf. Also attending was Pacifica Executive Director Arlene Engelhardt. Agenda, approved minutes, schedule review of other draft budgets. Motion, to approve the minutes of the August 31st, 2010 public session meeting. Passed without objection. Motion to approve the minutes of the July 6, 2010 public session meeting. Passed without objection. Schedule review of other draft budgets, 10:54 p.m. Eastern Time. Oh, I didn't put that in. Let me put that in right now. There. 10:54 p.m. Eastern Time. Each station's representative briefly stated where they were at in the budget process. The WPFW budget might be ready for the next meeting. The CFO said that she would make motions regarding fewer PNB meetings in FY11 a part of the national office budget. Motion, Bruce Wolf, to adjourn. Passed without objection. Adjourned 11:08 p.m. Eastern Time, submitted by R. Paul Martin, Secretary.
Are there any objections to those minutes as presented? And hearing none, please mark them as approved.
Okay.
Thank you, Arpal. All right. I say let's start with KPFA, and we'll move our way around the network and get an update on how these budgets that are supposed to be done in 9 days, how they're looking, okay? Thank you. Simon, go ahead, please.
Yes, Simon of KPFA. Status at our lovely station is that we really have gotten into the meat and beef of budgeting. We've organized three and held three meetings over the last 2 weeks. The last one was yesterday with the members of the management team at the station. And LaVarne and Arlene were at least present on one of the three. And so were several of the board members. It kind of trickled in. A pro forma finance committee kind of formed on the spot.
Excellent.
To represent the board. So that was never the problem anyway. So the thing is, it's of course, the very first draft that was given, you know, to us from Efren, who is essentially the keeper of the template, with input from the business manager, had a deficit of around $800,000, including about, you know, $300,000 in capital, including, you know, a net loss of about $300,000 or $400,000. And capital items of about $400,000, of which one item of note was repayment of outstanding central services that accounted for almost $300,000. So that was added into the budget as a capital item required, essentially, you know, from national office. So we've been essentially messing around with various aspects of this and going through the revenue section and the expense section, and at one point had it down to $300,000 or $400,000, and right now we're actually unsure again because we've discovered some discrepancies in the way the payroll numbers were entered, and at this point really essentially unclear how far our gap is, but it's pretty sizable still, and I'm waiting for another couple of days for these things to be worked out. So I could easily give anyone a draft. You know, it's a completely working draft if you had any interest in seeing that, but it's not like very meaningful at this point to share with the committee, I believe.
Okay. Thank you, Simon. Other questions for Simon?
Yeah, I have one.
Go ahead, Don.
At KPF, we end the year award-winning Network Best training program and internship program, and we've heard just heard good things about it. I don't remember the details, but we'd like to emulate it and budget one ourselves. I called Efren today and asked, you know, how much that was. He said it wasn't in the budget, to his knowledge, and I'd have to talk to the business manager or somebody to find out about it. But do you have a section? Is it a budgeted item, or is it something that's just done incidentally from other activities? If you have something if it is a budgeted item, then I'd like to see that part of it so we can just copy and paste it into our budget.
I suspect it's not something. I mean, I'm not aware of it, frankly. And so I suspect it's not highlighted as a program. To what degree even internships, you know, interns are in the payroll, I can't tell, actually. I have to take a complete flyer. It's a level, you know, I'm not sure about it. I could follow up and inquire.
Yeah, well, I guess if you do the inquiry, that would be useful. I guess if you don't know where it is, then I would have a hard time finding it, too. So so all I can say is, yeah, please follow up and let me know at the earliest convenience, because if it is in the budget, we want to put it in ours, too, and if it's not, well, we just want to learn how you're doing it and try to follow it.
And what was the name of the intern program? It wasn't just any intern program. You gave it a particular name.
Well, what I think you guys have is, you know, we have a situation down here where we have a volunteer coordinator, and that person goes out and gets volunteers, but we don't have a good way of training those volunteers. We have nothing formal, and we'd like to be able to take better advantage of those volunteers by training them efficiently, and especially since we like to reduce
our
costs.
Hello? It's LaVar.
Hi. Oh, hi, LaVar. We can hear you now.
Oh, it's happening with my voice this afternoon. I can't seem to get through. The program at KPFA is called the Apprentice. I've been trying to interrupt and tell you this for the last 5 minutes.
Sorry, I couldn't hear you. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Oh, apparently. Apprenticeship program, and they have an apprenticeship director who's about halftime now. I don't have the complete budget in front of me. And there are costs related to the program, but usually the costs are incorporated into each department because they have a class of students. So I think probably you probably want to know the details on the class. So Simon, we can ask. I think it's Renee Giesler, who's the apprenticeship program director, and we can ask her to pull together the package, because it's a complete, like, almost, I think it's like 18-month program, training program.
That's right.
And we can ask her to send it out to KPFK and copy you on it.
Okay, I'll do that.
Thank you, yeah.
Hey, Giesler.
Excellent.
Any other questions?
And the other thing is on the KPFA budget is that, as Simon said, is that we put in a payback on essential services that have not been paid for since April. And I think that was it's on the reports that I sent out last month. We're still preparing this month's reports because we're also preparing to get the reports for the PNB meeting. And so basically the reports would show, like we showed last month, in terms of what was owed by the national office and each one of the major stations, and it shows that KPFA has not paid since April, so that's about $300,000. Now, when I sit in on some of the budget meetings, you know, the earlier budget meetings we held with just staff, and then Simon and it says come in and basically manage these meetings, which are really good in terms of bringing people together and trying to get the budget down to something that's reasonable. But, you know, I was questioned by, I think it was Brian, it was Tinkered, why, if other stations were included in their budget, the payback on the central services that hadn't been paid. And I basically explained is that, you know, we have major payables in a national office that must be paid. And therefore, you know, it just doesn't go away with the new year. And that is part of the budget. We have to pay Democracy Now. We have to pay insurance. We have to pay the payrolls. That's on the list of things that I sent out last month, which each one of you got. It was part of the PNB package. And it was that for the national office is about 800, and it's about $1 million because we are not getting the central services. And basically KPFA, which is, you know, one of the major funders are for the network in terms of our common expenses, that hasn't been coming in. So that's why those things are adding up. And so, again, the budget has, and although I was questioned whether other stations were included in it, and the only other station would have been PFW or BAI. But, yes, you know, it is part of the budget, and it has to be part of making the budget break even. You know, your expenses have to, your revenue has to be slightly more than your expenses, and the major payables from the national office, they have to be paid back.
Thank you, LaVarne. And I have a question about the KPFA budget, I guess directed towards Arlene. What steps are being taken at this point to make the needed staff reductions, and how many FTEs are scheduled to be reduced at this point at KPFA to bring their budget in line?
We have a meeting on that tomorrow evening at 6.
Okay. Are there any proposals yet, though, in terms of FTEs? I mean, is there a number that we're looking at yet, or has that not yet been decided?
I do not have it. They have been working on it. I called about it today. It's supposed to come over to me tomorrow afternoon.
Okay, so hopefully by next Finance Committee meeting, we would have hard numbers in terms of staff reductions and full-time equivalents.
We will hopefully have some hard numbers because I'm not around on this, believe me.
Okay, all right, thank you. Are there other questions from the committee for KPFA at this point on their budget?
No, but the other way around. Can I have a follow-up question to LaVarne on the...
Oh, of course, Simon, of course. We're on your station. Go ahead.
In this context, it is. It would be good for me to hear what amount, you know, you're requiring from other stations in terms of repayments of central services.
What amount? Well, we
yeah, I mean, you know, what are the outstanding balances that other stations have and that you're essentially requesting or requiring them to repay in the next fiscal year?
Yeah, well, if we look at each one of their budgets, you'll see it in those numbers. So we have to look at the budgets for each. If you look at PFW, what is the budget? What is the amount of central services that were not paid? And what the repayment would be. We look at BAI, which has been behind all year. We would have to look at some repayment on their central services also, so that would be part of the budget. But, you know, again, what KPFA has to step up and do, you know, it's not, I mean, that question was like, you know, what are the other stations doing? The other stations will do what they can do and what we will ask them to do in terms of paying back are meeting the obligations that they didn't do. Because the point I made and the point I'll make again is that those costs do not go away. We still have to pay the insurance. We still have to pay the auditor. We still have to pay Democracy Now. And if the reason for the question is that what?
No. Well, the reason for the question is this: that philosophically speaking. More than anything else. Nobody is debating, oh yeah, this is really money that is owed to central, to the national office. I guess philosophically, and I'm not very emotionally attached, but the station folks could be or are. It is, you know, the national office to some degree is like a lender of last resort. And to the degree that this all of a sudden, that this is now like a required item in one fiscal year, but was kind of tolerated without actually anyone really foreseeing that, you know, okay, this is suddenly going to become, you have to make this up next year. That is actually a little bit of a surprise. And so the question is, you know, whether it's actually not punishing, but put such a burden on the station that you can't really have an ongoing operation. To make up for it, you'd have to nearly either, you know, have really aggressive targets on the revenue side or have, you know, nearly crippling cost cuts. And so I guess the philosophical question is, are you applying that kind of requirement the same way across all stations, or is it kind of station to station?
Well, I think that, you know, when you come to budgeting, it's, you know, there's a philosophy of budgeting.
Excuse me, I have to interrupt for 1 second for a point of personal privilege. I'm chairing from one of the radio studios, and they need to record in here, and I have to move phones. So continue without me for about a second, and I'll be right back, okay? Thank you. Bye.
When you budget, there's a philosophy of budgeting, and basically is that your expenses have to be less than your revenue. And and with KPFA, not being able to are suffering a deficit again, that the deficit and the cost for keeping KPFA on the air, which includes again Democracy Now, insurance, the auditor, that those costs do not, you know, those costs do not stop, or the Democracy Now doesn't forgive the fact that we owe them over $500,000 because our fiscal year ends. Those costs, I mean, they still have to be paid, Simon. So
nobody can argue with that, of course.
I'm not through yet. And in the past, there was a surplus that could be used to fund, to pay for these things like Democracy Now! And insurance and the auditor when the stations could not commit to what we call central services, which central services are those costs. Then that was not a request. But now there's not a reserve at the national office that can just wipe out all of those costs. There's some reserve, but not enough to wipe out all of them. And we're actually going to access some reserves. We can talk about it when we get into the closed session. But those costs are still there, Simon, and they must be paid. There's still an obligation there, and I don't understand why, you know, there's no philosophical discussion when we have to pay NPR, we have to pay the insurance, we have to pay Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! And KPFA uses Democracy Now! To raise funds. And
okay, I guess if I may just, you know, elaborate.
It's bottom line, Simon. It's bottom line. There's no way I can make this up and make these things and pay the bills unless it comes from the stations that are generating revenue. That are generating revenue. And if these costs are not for a national office, they're for the station. I mean, it's just, I don't, you know, that's basically, you have expenses, you have to take care of them. You know, we have to cut back as much as we can. We cut back at the national office 2 years ago. KPFA and other stations cut back. And BAI, the cuts were definitely not the right cuts, because in terms of it really crippled the stations.
This is Summer. I'm back.
But the thing is that KPFA, as we all know, did not make the cuts 2 years ago. Those costs, they have continued to run up, and so that's why we are in this position at KPFA. Otherwise, KPFA when we were there like 5 years ago, we set out a sustainable budget. We were like ignored.
Here's the point. Essentially, where it breaks down a little bit, where that argument breaks down a little bit. And nobody wants to say, oh, we're not getting our money's worth from the national office. That's not the position of anyone. But and the budget that, you know, that we're working on is going to, in the first place, try to even have a net income, at least neutral or positive, before repaying debts in that way. But it would essentially cover, you know, next year's central services that are due.
This is Summer. May I address part of this? Because I do have something to weigh in on this when you're done, Simon.
Okay. I guess the only thing is, if this were such a hard thing, right, or is such a hard, you know, such a absolute requirement for KPFA to repay, then it would have been a little nice or a little, like, helpful to have some notice that there is, you know, what that payable really is, because I don't ever see that. I don't ever really see a balance sheet. I know, of course, that we haven't been paying. Everybody kind of knows that, but nobody has actually had any kind of true awareness. Maybe we're ignorant, of course. We don't want to hear that stuff. But nobody really knew, okay, there was a $250,000 balance, and we have to make it up with the next fiscal budget.
This is Summer,
oh, yeah.
If I may. LaVarne, do you mind if I...
Tell him that he gets the report. I send the reports out. The last reports actually had taken it from the GL, not selectively, what the major payables are. And then also the balance sheet comes out with the reports left out on a monthly basis. That we're working on reports for this month because we're working on P&B reports.
Oh, well, this is Summer. I just wanted to weigh in, Simon, so that you understand it may come as somewhat of a shock, but the very thing that we're going to be discussing in executive session is the current financial situation. And one of the reasons it is so drastic, like for the national office and for the network, is the inability of certain stations to pay their central services, which basically becomes a burden upon the remaining stations to pay for all of the facilities provided by the national office. It's one of those things that we have to come to terms to. I mean, when LaVarne said, you know, they did not make pay cuts at KPFA 2 years ago, when KPFK did and other stations did, these failures to address problems that are clearly visible in terms of income versus outflow is a problem that we have to address network-wide, including figuring out how to come in line with paying central services so that our bills get paid. Because what's going on now is everyone thinks someone else is going to pay for this stuff and we'll catch up next year. And next year is here for the network at this point. We're here. This is next year. And somehow every station has to figure out how to get its budget in line and the national office's budget in line and central services paid and not have, you know, a few stations in the network that basically drain the life out of the other stations that are able to pay their bills, which is what, I'm not blaming KPFA like for the whole 3 years, but we're now reaching that point with KPFA also. And these are untenable situations. This is a network. Bills must be paid, and every unit has to take responsibility to become fiscally responsible. And part of that is factoring central services into the budget and actually paying them, because those are what a big part of the outstanding liabilities at the national office is, the failure to have central services to pay those bills. So it's just, it's like, I think this is like one of those years where everyone is going to have to figure out how to get their budgets together, not just Pacifica, but lots of different foundations, and that includes making very difficult decisions that will make people unhappy, but they must be done because the current state of affairs is like simply untenable, and that includes stations have to catch up on their central services. So I don't think it's being aimed at your station particularly, at least that's not my impression, but any stations that aren't paying central services need to get up to speed on that.
Summer?
Yes.
Darlene, I just want to echo what you just said. From the day I came on board, I said that we have to live within our income. We can't depend on reserves because we don't have reserves.
Right.
And it's been a real struggle to get this to happen within stations that are used to operating autonomously.
Yes.
A couple of stations have done admirably, and a couple are trying really hard. And we've had some real difficult times with KPFA.
Yes, yes. So, you know, I think that's the answer, Simon.
Yeah, no, I guess the answer somewhere, the unspoken answer, too, is that somehow the national office over the last year or three was not able to hold KPFA accountable to its shortcomings, because that's essentially, if you think of yourself as like the federal, you know, reserve, and we're all little operating banks out there, and if we're not doing what we have to do, you know, you have to step on it. And I guess that was somehow not feasible with either the structure that was present, or you could not force KPFA to adopt these, you know, certain measures earlier. So now we're, I guess, stuck now with it. Still, I guess it is kind of a surprise now that we have, you know, the additional 250,000 or 300,000 to take care of.
Yeah, well, you know, KPFA had cash reserves but did not make those staff cuts that were necessary and ran through those cash reserves and now still has the staff and doesn't have
Yeah, they got away with it, of course.
And didn't pay central services, which is, you know, I mean, like, my opinion, any cash reserves, you should get your debt load down, and that's, like, a problem for the network. People don't do that. They spend the money instead of paying the bills off. And so, yeah, it's like the chickens have come home to roost. Here we are. We must deal with these things.
Please remember that they paid their central services last year, and so consequently they were going ahead and running down those reserves, and National didn't have any control over their accounts. We've taken control of some of the accounts.
Right.
You know, that's the station that we're moving to do that. And to be perfectly honest, we're also trying to trace for sure where everything is being deposited. Laverne is not able to really reconcile what it would appear should have been cash coming in with the deposits that have been going into the accounts that we know about. So there's a real...
Maybe we should discuss this further in executive session, because there were things that were brought to my attention when I was first seated on the board which fit in with what you're talking about, and these are things of which, you know, we should be aware.
We can also just discuss an open session with KPFA as we go toward the end, because this has been discussed before. As we go toward the end of the year, I think I copied a lot of you guys on the emails, is that we're having one of the staff from the national office spend like time at we arranged to have spend time there at KPFA to basically monitor and to supervise this year in close, and to actually as we prepare for an audit to make sure that certain steps are in place. And even looking at last year, you know, as Arlene has said, you know, where the concern is looking at MEMS's reports and seeing revenue that has come in and reconciling that, although the bank reconciliations are actually done here in the national office, and they have been for a while, but trying to reconcile the MEMS's reports to the bank reconciliation. So all of these things, Simon, yeah, you're absolutely right that last year was spent a lot in discussion about things and the political sides of cuts, but the cuts were not made. And that we can discuss in detail as much as what we know in closed session.
Yes, and you know, and I did have a question there. When you say you're doing the bank recs at the national, is that for all five units or just for the certain units?
No. We do.
Okay.
We do WBAI.
Okay.
And we're doing KPFA, and we are And you know, we're changing processes at KPFA in terms of how they were previously doing work. And as we all know, that the emphasis all year in terms of getting this information out and having staff and everyone accept this was the whole missing $375,000 check.
Sure.
Can I say something?
Yes, of course. Who is that, Bruce? Go ahead,
yeah.
Please.
I just want to say, you know, that I feel Simon's pain on this whole issue, especially of the Central Services money. But I got to say, you know, we're a smaller station, and we really had to cut ourselves to the bone to get our budget balanced for 2011. And we had in mind the whole time that whole issue of that we have to be able to pay, you know, our Central Services, you know, that's part of our budget, you know, and we were uncomfortable and everything too, but we still had to do it. And I got to admit, while I feel for the people at KPFA, I feel that if we had to cut so severely, you know, that they should be doing the same thing, and they're just going to have to. And it's hard and it hurts, but I don't think we can, you know, survive any, you know, luxuries. And, you know, either the money's there or it isn't. She doesn't look like it's there right now. So I have to say that, you know, I hope they can find a way to make those cuts. And they're just going to have to bite the bullet and do it. And, I mean, it doesn't matter what happened in the past or, you know, or whether or not they totally understand how much they owe and Central Services or not. You know, the issue now is, moving forward.
Of course.
Well, yeah, I mean, we can move on. You know, I don't mean to belabor the point, but if the debt of unpaid Central Services were, say, $500,000, you could not possibly expect it to be repaid in 1 month or in 1 year, because essentially you totally would cripple the organization.
Simon, I want you to understand. We know that what we owe, and that's a target for us to do. But what we're doing with our new budget for 2011 is at least trying to plan a budget where we're not going to be any more delinquent and find a way to pay off the old money that's due. You see what I'm saying? The part that we budgeted was for what we presume we owe for 2011, and that we have to, that has to be an amount that we can pay this time and not fall behind anymore.
And let me just add, you know, if you look at the results for KPFA, like for the month of August, like when the budget was done for KPFA last year, they weighed revenue at the end of the fiscal year. Even with that, you know, I thought we would have some reduction in the deficit in the month of August, and instead in the month of August, before the Central Services, which I'll try to like take out, even before Central Services, there's still a loss in the month of August of about after Central Service of about $22,000, and that means that spending that the budget was not really seriously considered or it wasn't done correctly, that it was not adhered to. For example, in the month of July, there was a loss of $142,000, and the budget was for a net surplus of about $14,000. So what you have at KPFA is you have the spending continuing to go over, and that in the month of August, the revenue was about $100,000 higher than the budget, because some of the revenue came in. But overall, what we have is that the budgeting wasn't done correctly. That was passed by the board last year for KPFA. It was not a correct budget. It was weighed down. I mean, the cash flow, like when you do your budget, you have to look at your cash flow, and that this. And the KPFA's budget did not consider cash flow. It really weighed it negative towards the first part of the year. Now, this year, that's what Simon, you two guys, and I really applaud you, you know, because you have both staff and government and LSB in there trying to work this. But, you know, we haven't really looked at the results. On every month, you have the results. We have not discussed this in these meetings when we have our meetings. And we have to do that, because then you will know what it looks for the current month and year to date, and to see what the issues are when I write them in my little report. So KPFA, you know, it's clearly, I mean, in July, you were clearly at about 400,000, and the deficit was about 400,000, and year to date now for KPFA, you're over 400,000. You're clearly at about a $500,000 deficit year to date. Now we're expecting that to go down somewhat, and in September, with the five stars, I believe we're expecting, you know, it's, instead of going down to something like 200, it may go down to like 400. Or we think that more than that would happen every day. But yeah, it's clearly KPFA is the defendant is not under control. The headcount has not been done. There reduction in staff, you know, people leaving, but the real reduction so far is just a plan to reduce the hours for individuals versus actually the cost in there.
Thank you, LaVarne. Well, I think we probably need to move on. I did want to say something in response to what Arlene had said, which is about your having to check on various things to see about our policies and our bank accounts and things like that. I do think that we need to, as a finance committee and as a board, implement policies in terms of reporting from the units to the national office. We should be using QuickBooks. I've never even heard of Great Plains software in the real accounting world, actually. You know, we should be using things that where the immediate recording of what happens at the local units goes up to the national office, because I suspect, in terms of our cash flow situation, one of the reasons, you know, that central services get left last as stations spend their money on what they spend their money on, and we don't find out about it until the end of the year frequently, and that should not be happening. This is a network, and it's fine to have the autonomy on spending it, but the reporting needs to go back up to the national office so there's monitoring, so that the board can monitor it and so that our managers can do their functions, because I think having to go chase things around is one of the reasons that stuff goes awry for so many months before anybody knows what's happening and can fix it, is because you're having to look for the information instead of having the information automatically supplied. So it's not something we can fix here tonight, but it's something I will craft a motion on. We need to change how we function.
We've already set that motion out, Summer. And in fact, KPFK and you were not too happy about the fact that KPFK, that the national office would actually control the operating account of the station, and then send to the station, they would have their reserves, and send to the station the cash that they need for their expenses, and the revenue goes into an account, an account that's controlled by National, but with each station would have a separate account within this National account. So
well, I still oppose that. I'm not talking about control. I'm talking about oversight. There's a difference. Control of your money is one thing. Having the National office know what you're doing is another. I'm fully in favor of it. But I feel that right now there's such a lapse in time. You know, consultants, contractors, things that happen at the local level are not reported in a timely fashion to the national office, and certainly not to the boards. And that's what I'm really talking about. I'm talking about using industry-compliant accounting software that enables people to send their ledgers up in a hurry, all the time, instant reporting, so that the national office knows what's going on. I'm not in favor of shipping all the money to the national office, because that'll just change the power dynamics, and we end up, instead of the stations not doing something, then the national office won't do something. But I am in favor of transparency that flows in both directions, and part of that is using the right software and having the right policy. I do feel right now there's a big lag time between what happens and necessarily knowing about it, and that's really what I want to see. I want that to stop happening. I want things, you know, instant transparency on finances and information sharing. But
I agree with you on most of what you said, Summer. Certainly Great Plains is used by a number of large organizations and companies. I'm not sure. I've always, at least my experience with QuickBooks, and I'm not an accountant, has been with smaller companies. I'm not sure if it would be appropriate for something of the size of Pacifica, but the publishing company that I came from worked with Great Plains. And so if it's used properly and if you have the proper updates and people are applying the correct transparency, it can work. Unfortunately, we've had a history of a number of years of some really lax management, and trying to get things turned around is taking just an incredible amount of effort from this office when we're trying to do things like hire GMs for the stations and get some other things in place at the same time. And it needs to happen, and it needs to happen more quickly. I agree with you totally.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Alonzo, I've got to go now.
Okay, Alonzo, thank you so much for being with us.
Your basic finance process is that you have a general ledger where people put in this information, your invoices, your revenue. Now, KPFA has not been doing that consistently. We have pressed on them, and they have started that, and that's what we're going to have effort next door to wrap up this year to make sure that I can see this daily. Just use your general ledger, trade planes, and then at the end of the month, you close. But you don't close the books in the middle of the month. You end of the month, you close. You give a person X
amount. No, I'm not talking about closing the books.
Let me just add one more thing is that last year we really looked at alternatives because we did want something that, you know, I could just flip it and see it. But what happened is that we looked at the security would not be there using either quick. It was like a business.
Well, I would disagree. I've done $12 million worth of audits in QuickBooks. It's industry standard. It's what CPAs use. Most CPAs will charge you more to transfer data into what they normally use, and it's perfectly lockable and secure. You can produce an infinite number of companies. I mean, I'm not saying that's the software you have to use, but it generates reports and graphs and charts, and even our own business manager agrees it's easier to use than what we use.
And when you close at the end of the month, you have to do is here at the office, we have to close it so there's no more input into this system, and that establishes what the results are for the month. Now, with Quicken, we could not do that.
Quicken isn't professional software. Quicken is for people to do their home.
That was it. So we did all, and we'll look at it again this year.
QuickBooks is professional software. It's not Quicken.
It was a business Quicken. We talked with Microsoft and all, and we did a little research.
Quicken is not QuickBooks. I mean, I hate to keep arguing with you, but I've worked on too many audits.
I hear what you're saying. We'll look at that again, but we did. We looked at various versions. We also looked at, there's another software called, I can't recall right now, it's called, we looked at that also. It's like not-for-profits using it. But, yeah, we will look at it again. But, so that we could look at it daily versus going through the general ledger, and then that means that each person has to be knowledgeable enough and on their job to put in their receipts and invoices every day.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, obviously the personnel issue is a huge issue. You all know where I stand on that. Fire incompetent people, retrain the ones that can be retrained, and get rid of the ones who can't. I mean, people have to be able to do their jobs. Otherwise, there's no point in having in those jobs. So, yeah, I know you're working on that, and please continue.
See what's new is out there.
Okay. I believe John Wenger had a question, and then it's moving along in time. We should move on to KPFK and the other two signal areas before it gets any later. But go ahead, John.
I think we spend a lot of time dodging the executive session. I'd like to move to executive session as soon as possible. And
I'm going to
drop off the call and then call in. Should I call into executive session or back to open session?
No, we'll have to hang up and redial to get into executive session. Do you want to skip going over KPFK right now and just move on to WBI and WPFW? We don't have to take so long on every station.
Yeah, I really think we're wasting our time here in open session. And I have nothing really that I need to say about KPFK unless people have questions.
Okay, point well taken. Bruce, would you like to give just a brief update on what's going on at WPFW? And we'll do that for WBAI. And then I agree, we do have pressing matters for executive session.
Well, there were two issues that we had to complete to reach the point where we could get our budget approved at this level. And one was, you know, making sure that our version of the template, you know, corresponded with everyone else's. And my understanding, and I hope I wasn't wrong, but I thought LaVarne had said that she would get some help for our business manager just to help get those numbers plugged in. It's just a matter of plugging in the numbers on the, you know, the background sheets and stuff. But our general manager, and I'll admit there's been stuff going on at our station locally, and he's got things in his private life, but he hadn't been contacted at all. So that still has to be done.
I talked to him Friday.
Okay. I talked to him yesterday, so all I know is whatever was as of yesterday. I think.
Yeah, and we talked about the fact that he was, again, the question is, what did I need him to do? And I said, we need to get it. We need to. I just need to get it on the template so we can consolidate.
Right.
So we also talked about the cash flow and the payroll for the end of the month. That was the major thing, and that's what we did. We also talked about that.
So that just said, and then the other thing was just waiting for the talks with the union to be completed, just to fit, you know, to so that we know we're going to be able to move ahead as planned, as far as you know, payroll and salaries are concerned, and for the coming, you know, for the 2011. And as far as I know, from what I was told, is that we're pretty close, and it's, and that, and hopefully that's going to be resolved pretty soon.
I have two communications that I received late today. One was a memo prepared by Robert and Donnie, and the other was a response from, I'm dropping her name, at the union, saying that their attorney is going to be contacting me. And so I've also forwarded some questions to Ricardo to make sure that we've covered all of our issues and dotted our I's and crossed our T's. But I'm directly involved in that and expect probably to be resolving something in the next day or two.
Thank you, Arlene.
Right.
Okay, go ahead, Bruce.
Oh, no, that's fine. In fact, that reminds me, Arlene, giving that explanation, is that Robert, our business manager, he, whatever happens, he wanted to run everything by Arlene anyway, just to make sure. In fact, he felt that was his, you know, not, that was something that he definitely should be doing. So that's part of it too, and it sounds like that's happening. So I'm just looking forward to all, you know, getting past that point so we can know that we're everything's settled.
Okay.
The other, I want to point out, though, it's ancillary to this whole thing, is, you know, we're going through our the issue of getting ourselves a permanent general manager, and I don't think, unless Arlene knows something, I don't think that's totally settled yet, but what we'd like to do is be able to get this budget approved and out of the way in that sense, so it's there for the new general manager when he or she comes on and, you know, can start from that position and that.
Okay. Yeah. Of course.
We're hoping.
Okay. And so I mean, what are we looking at now in terms of weeks? Do you think in terms of any idea?
Well, see, it's hard for me at this point because I'm dependent on what other people are doing.
LaVarne or Arlene?
And I can only report to you what where we're at.
It's you know I have Efren working going over and working with KPFA. I have him preparing reports for the P&B meeting. You know, I'm doing the usual stuff. So, you know, it's in terms of getting someone to fill in those templates, I, you know, Bruce, maybe you have an idea, maybe someone there at, maybe I'll have to talk to Robert to see if there's someone there at W, because we're you know, I'm stretched.
The reason why I think Robert needs some help isn't because of his abilities, it's because the time constraints on him. He's handling this issue of the budget, but he's also the interim general manager, and he's handling a bunch of things involved that, particularly we've got issues with the transmitter again, and there's stuff like that. Plus, he has issues at home that are, you know, take away some of his time, and that's what's, so having, I think, if he had someone,
let me just say, last year, actually, Bertolt Reimers went in and did it. But Bertolt is working as the interim general manager at AI. He is doing some consolidations. He's sent out his budget and the whole template with he has a PowerPoint presentation. So what again? You know, maybe when I talk to Robert again, maybe there's you know, we'll have to talk to Bert.
You know what, LaVarne, I think I hope you will talk to Robert, and I think you just need to is pin down exactly what it is that he needs in terms of questions he has to be able to move ahead. Because keep in mind, all the figures are there because we use them to come up with our totals and everything. I think it's just a matter of plugging them in. And so if you ask, just get him to tell you what
I think
precisely
we
he needs to know, and then we can get
there may
ahead.
Be a resource there at W. If not, the problem is with Efren working KPFA and spending time there, it would be hard to get. But we'll have to get it done. And I wanted it done by the end of the week.
Well, if someone could even give him, even do one phone call with him, and then I'll work with Robert as much as I can.
Yeah,
for the days I was on vacation, I've been talking to Robert pretty much daily.
Yeah,
Bruce.
I talked to him Friday.
Good,
you know,
good.
I was on vacation for the last week.
Oh, I know.
But I still talked to him yesterday.
Yeah, I think I talked to him.
Yeah, he was
going
to get back to me today, and I haven't heard from him, but I'll be calling him in the morning.
Okay. Well, I'll talk to him too and see if whatever we can. I hope we can get this done and completed.
Okay, thank you, Bruce. I think it's obvious, as our esteemed colleague Alberto Luera told us, that there's no way we're going to get these budgets done by the end of the fiscal year. We're going to be in October, which is anyone who can count can tell that's where we're headed. So, obviously, just everyone please keep pushing forward to try and, get them completed.
We'll try. Our goal is still to be done by the deadline, which is the 30th, at least our part of it anyway.
Well, I admire that, and then we can maybe get it approved as the next one on the agenda if it's finished, which would be fantastic.
I'm crossing my fingers.
All righty. Why don't we move on to our poll and just get a brief report, and then let's go ahead and get into that executive session because some of those matters are pressing and we should discuss them and make a decision about some of it, I think.
Okay.
Go ahead. Our poll?
Yeah. Yes, we have a budget we've been looking at. We had another finance committee meeting just last night, lively meetings, and we are looking at the income side of it because it pretty much looks like the expense side of it is not outrageous and it's not that off from the last year's budget. The problem is the income side of things. And there's vigorous debate about this. Some of it happens because we can't be totally certain of things. Things are not simple. For instance, earlier this year, we had the problem in the beginning of FY10. We had the problem of we had a good thon. We raised good pledges, but we had things like the invoices not going out for 12 weeks, BREs not being sent out because the printer screwed them up, and some similar things like that. Plus, we had the legacy of some years of the premiums not going out to the tune of us owing the rest of the world somewhere between 5,000 and 6,000 premiums. So it's hard to get a really great handle on how we're going to make income for this coming year. And the interim general manager has proposed a fulfillment rate of about 78%, like. For instance, the Springthon is currently at about 71%. And since we're like now 6 months away from that, it's not going to climb a whole lot over 71%. So that's one of the types of debates of how are we going to get the fulfillment rate up. Now, maybe we can get it up pretty easily because maybe we won't, let the invoices sit around for 3 months before we send them out. Maybe we'll do other things to get it right, too, and maybe the thing will go right up to 78. Who knows? But the committee is debating this. We're also looking at some other income proposals that some of us think they're a bit optimistic. The interim general manager is changing some of that. And so that's primarily what we're doing. We're mostly largely looking at the income and seeing how we can make that come up enough. And if I can put in my two cents here, I've said before that, I don't see how BAI is going to suddenly have a budget that's in the black all of a sudden for FY11. We're going to come in the middle six figures off All right.
And is that including central services or not including central services?
We haven't paid central services in a long time.
Gotcha. So nobody even thinks about that as part of coming
in
the black on the budget,
that's
right?
Part of what we're debating. We were debating that last night, too, in the budget.
Okay.
My thought is that I think there's a good chance that for the second half of FY11, WBAI can become self-sustaining. The first half, I don't see us reversing that rapidly. Wonderful if we could do it. I don't see, you know, us reversing that rapidly. But I think that our budget is coming along. And again, there's vigorous debate about a lot of this. And I think that what we do present will be an extremely considered budget when we bring it in. Even if I end up disagreeing with the thing in the bottom line, because again, since I'm not an actual employee, I get to dissent and say, I think we should give in a real budget that says, you know, we're going to be in the red. But that's for me. So anyway, we're moving on it, and we're definitely going to be having a budget that, you know, people are looking at. And on Thursday, we're bringing the budget draft, such as it is, to the LSB. I don't think the LSB is going to be able to pass it. I mean, I can't say. But I don't think the LSB will be able to pass it in the current condition. I think we'll have to have at least another finance committee meeting, and then in October bring it to the LSB. But that's where we are right now.
Thank you, Alex.
This is Alex. Can I say something?
Oh, of course, Alex. Please. Thank you, R. Paul, for that sobering account. Go ahead, Alex, please.
Yes. As far as the budget goes, it's optimistic, but it may not be completely out there in terms of wishful thinking. We are projecting significantly increased revenue in order to get a balanced budget and to pay central services. The reason it might be doable is that we're going to try a number of things that we simply haven't done before in terms of fundraising. For instance, community events. We think that's a resource that can be tapped, and it just wasn't done previously. And the other thing we're going to do is the fulfillment rate. A big reason for the huge drop in fulfillment rate was that we lost the confidence of our listeners due to the previous bottleneck. And I'm being very euphemistic when I say bottleneck, but there was a huge problem with the premiums delivery. And this caused us to lose a lot of confidence among our listeners, and therefore fulfillment rate went way down. We have done a lot to drastically improve the premium delivery situation, but it will take some time to bring up that fulfillment. It has been going up, and there's no reason why we can't get it up to 78%, which is what the budget projects, although I don't think we can. You know, it'll get up there throughout 2011. Maybe by toward the end of 2011, we'll be up there, because that's really close to what other stations are able to do, and there's no reason why we can't do it. But we have to take some measures, like make sure invoices go out after a fund drive and not 3 months later and things like that. Make sure we have proper barcodes on the return envelopes. There's all kinds of little things that have to be done to bring up that fulfillment rate. We are taking measures to do that. So while I agree with our poll that some aspects of the budget are perhaps over-optimistic, it's not a totally crazy budget either.
Thank you, Alex.
I didn't say it was totally crazy.
Just a little.
Let me go on record. It is not totally crazy. We just have differences about some stuff.
Well, if I may ask a question or make a comment and then ask a question, you know, I'm of the personal opinion, having produced concerts and other things that, and also seen how these things go here at KPFK, that relying upon any sort of community events to actually increase your bottom line is not a good idea unless these are already proven events, because the amount of staff and other resources required to produce successful events are months at a time without necessarily seeing a lot of cash for that. So I hope that there aren't too many increased projections of income based on community events. I feel that's foolhardy no matter who's doing it, whether it's KPFK or WBAI. It's just not based on reality most times, unless it's very small. amounts expected for these things. Fulfillment, on the other hand, I really do hope that, you know, the station focuses very critically on, since I think that would do quite a bit to increase, you know, the amount of money you actually bring in. So either of you have an idea about how much is projected on community events for increased income? Is there a number in there for that yet?
I didn't hear something just happened. I didn't hear stuff.
There was a number
on community events. How much positive projection is there for income coming from community events?
What you just discussed here was a large part of the discussion last night. I'll give you the figure we sort of hammered out. It's not written in stone. This is, it's written on rubber or something. I don't know. about 57.5, and we're still debating that.
Okay, well, that can be discussed further.
And again, what you just went into here, we spent about an hour on just that last night.
Yeah, because people have very unrealistic ideas of what can be produced from things like concerts for the ratio of time, effort, and money that's put into them. I mean, you can have very successful events, but you need successful event producers to do that. And other things, you know, if you have trickle things where you get a little bit of money off of what other people are already doing, that's beautiful because that's more reliable. But the expectation, I think we made $3,000 net off of a large 50-year anniversary benefit concert at the Don Anson Ford Amphitheater featuring Ziggy Marley and several other luminaries, and the net profit off of that was $3,000. I could go into lots of reasons as to why it didn't make more money, but that's the whole point, is that these things frequently do not make the money that you would objectively think that they should based on what you're offering. So just bring that back and keep, you know, I mean, that's not a large amount of money. So $57,000 isn't going to fix your problems or hinder you too much. Try not to let people waste too much time in community events if you can.
Well, some of what I said last night was that maybe we should give anything, just about anything, a trial. Try once and see what our strengths and weaknesses are on that, because a number of these things are going to rely on some people. We have somebody who's kind of experienced with this, but that person's going to have to hand off for various reasons to other people who aren't, and how is that going to work? And maybe we should try things just a little bit, so that if they flop, we don't lose a bundle and we're not relying on them. And I have to say, I've been doing this kind of activism and other stuff for 40 years now. And I've been through a great many, hey, gang, let's put on a show to raise money meetings. And my thought is, you know, give things a small try so that you don't go in hook, line, and sinker and really depend on it and see who can do what and what will work. And so that's the deal there, is the community events is definitely a large debate, and the interim general manager has some community events that he's very confident about, and others, you know, we're sort of debating. But anyway, there it is. That's where our budget and community events and other stuff is.
Okay, and so any idea again for you also in terms of timing when you might have a actually approved budget that doesn't have a big deficit hole in it coming back up to NFC?
The October LSB meeting is October 13th.
Okay.
So
sometime after that, maybe.
Well, we can see if we can hammer enough stuff together here to have that meeting do it, but maybe, maybe not. I mean, I certainly can't predict because other people vote and I don't. So we'll just have to see. Certainly, in my opinion, only in my opinion, certainly can't be before October 13th.
Okay, that's fine. And we're hoping to bring our budget to the LSB on Saturday here at KPFK to, see if we can approve a budget. So it sounds like, we'll just be cycling through October. We'll see, you know, we'll take them in rotation and keep pushing to get these budgets finished. Are there any questions for New York or for D.C. before we move on to executive session? Because these are ongoing operations going on all these budgets, it seems. Are there any questions, comments, or additional things? Okay, hearing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn and then would ask everyone to please get back on the call to the executive session so we can go ahead and discuss those matters.
So moved.
Thank you. All right.
Who just moved it?
hear no objection. I hear people leaving the call already. They're like,
voting
we're
with
already
their feet.
They're voting with their feet. Okay, thank you. This meeting of the National Finance Committee is adjourned, and we'll go to executive session.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Bye.